Good morning, everyone. Wasn't sure this morning if I was going to be able to be here today, and I didn't think I could do that to Mose again, but dealing with a migraine, and anyway, so by God's grace and a bunch of ibuprofen, I'm here. Let's turn in our Bibles to 3 John. Third epistle of John. Not the third chapter of John, the third epistle. Just going to go through this chapter a little bit and try to bring out a couple points, a couple things that stood out to me as something that we can learn from to gain examples for us to live our lives. It's just a short chapter. Close to the Bible, the second would be the third to last book of the Bible, and I think it's full of teaching for us. Let's read it, and then we'll go through gain a couple things. John, third epistle of John, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiceth greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall see thee. I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. We have an example here of the elder John that had been with Jesus. He's writing to one of the people that he apparently brought to the Lord. He says that he has no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And the implication is that he would have led him to the Lord. Gaius is mentioned twice in Acts, once in Romans, once in 1 Corinthians as well. And there's maybe the same man. It may be a more common name they use in the day, and it's not the same man. There's definitely similar characters, especially the one in Romans 16:23. He's mentioned as being Paul's host and also the host of the entire church. And in 3 John here, verses 4 and 5, he's commended for his faithful charity in helping those that are on a journey. So there's definitely similarities there. It appears in Romans that he had been a traveling companion with Paul. And he also was a one that Paul baptized. I'm not sure how that goes in, whether it is or not. It doesn't really make a huge difference here. I think there's still qualities and things we can look at in his life that we can learn from his example. It appears that this is not the first letter that John wrote to the church here. We're not sure what church it actually even is, but he wrote a letter previously, but it was not received because of Diotrephes. He was a proud man who thought he had life figured out and didn't need any elder telling him what to do. So John wrote a second letter to Gaius. He starts out in the first couple verses just giving warm commendations on to Gaius for what he was doing in following the biblical example of hospitality and love to strangers. Verse 2, he starts out giving Gaius a health and a strength wish. He heard how well he was doing spiritually, and maybe he was not a healthy man, but he was wishing him health, wishing him to do well. There's controversy out there. People use it for a prosperity gospel teaching. I don't buy that type of message. I feel like he's just giving him a, hearing how well he's doing spiritually, he's just giving him a wish that he would do just as well physically as he is spiritually. And we could also turn that around, look at it the other side, and see how well we're doing physically. If it would reflect that way, what our spiritual life looks like, how would our physical bodies look? John knew he could say that because in verse 3, he was rejoicing when the brethren came and testified of the truth that was in Gaius. And he could say those words with confidence. In verse 5, Gaius definitely had a heart for serving people's practical needs. There's two main points in the chapter I just kind of like to pull out. One is being a fellow helper in what Gaius is doing and taking care of people's needs. There's some controversy these days about the paying or taking care of missionaries or people that are going out for the gospel's sake, whether or not that's all ethical and all. I've heard comments over the years, people didn't really appreciate people leaving home and going to somewhere and getting paid their needs taken care of to do that. In this section here, I feel it's a clear example. John's recommending what we should do and the pattern to follow. Verses 6 to 8, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey, after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Gaius was bringing, there evidently was some traveling missionaries or traveling people coming through from a different area. They weren't from the local town there. And they were preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. It seems they were traveling as Jesus had said in Matthew when he sent out the 12, and then in Luke when he sent out the 70. They took no coat, they're not to take two coats, no money. And they were supposed to enter into towns and go to people's places. And Matthew 10:10 mentions that it's a workman is worthy of his food or worthy of his, I don't know the exact word there, but basically worthy of his labor. Here in verse 8, we have John telling us we ought to receive these people that left their homes for Jesus' namesake and support them so they can continue the work without taking anything of the Gentiles. The part that excited me was the verse where it says, you can be fellow helpers of the truth or to the truth. The idea that even if we're not going somewhere, we can be helpers with the people that are. Or, you know, as we think of Andy's going and just different things, you can help people out. And the fellow helper gives the idea of laboring together or the same thing as if you're working together in the same job, you know, here. It's a fellow helper. You're working together. You're doing the same thing, even though one may be a long distance away, we can still be a companion right along beside them. I thought of the example, there was a, when I was in West Africa, there was a tribe that had no language, their language was not translated, and there's a group of people that translated the 25 Bible stories that CAM does. They translated into the language, and somebody from northern Indiana, I think it was actually an Amish guy, but he donated the money. I don't even know who he is, but he donated the money to support that work and actually paid for all the printing, shipping, and everything. And as these are being handed out, the comment was made that there's a man in northern Indiana that may get to heaven someday and realize that he has spiritual children because of his work, one thing he did there, that he could be a fellow helper through that work. The second thing I'd like to pull out of here is the example of Diotrephes. or the bad example of Diotrephes. In verse 9, John mentions he wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. He seemed to be a proud man that preeminence means, you know, he wanted to be superior. He wanted to be great. Someone looked up to, you know, the top of the ladder. He didn't want anybody telling him what to do. And it's not a very pretty picture. I think this is one of the only times in Scripture where we'd have a singular ministry or ministerial body where there would be only one person involved. And any other time, I think you can find reference to at least, you know, a couple people in ministry. And it doesn't seem like it's worked out too well in this example. He didn't like the idea of these missionaries or whoever they were coming through and people receiving them. He went so far as to forbid anyone from receiving them. If they did, he was going to excommunicate them or cast them out of the church. John says in verse 10, "Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds." John was an old man at this point and followed the Lord for years, helped start churches. And he says he'll remember the deeds that Diotrephes has done. Doesn't look like a very good picture. We don't have record if he ever came and set things straight. But it's a bad example that we can look at someone not to follow. He's talking to Gaius through this whole thing, and there's a possible message portrayed here that maybe Gaius and Diotrephes were actually not even the same church. Maybe it was two churches in the same town. Because he goes into detail a little bit of what he did, and you would have thought Gaius would have known. The other example would be that Diotrephes received the letter and didn't tell anybody about it. And so Gaius didn't know anything about it. And I would tend to think it'd be more that direction. Whatever it was, even if he was in the same church, I have a feeling from the previous context of Gaius' life that he continued his work of love and didn't go telling Diotrephes that John's coming, he's going to be in serious trouble. His character didn't seem to point to that kind of a person. In verse 11, we have, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." And it's right after the reference of Gaius doing good, following faithfully what he should be doing, and Diotrephes doing evil and doing exactly the opposite. And it's just like it's giving a picture of choose which one of these examples that you want to follow. Follow that which is good, or follow Gaius's example of serving and supporting. He provided for strangers and brethren, especially those that had left their homes for the work of the Lord to preach the gospel away from home. And then we come right after that, we have another example in verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. I think it's just, there's a verse in the scripture about beware when all men speak well of you. To me, implying that it's talking of the brothers and those in the kingdom, and of a person that has an example that you can't look into and see a bunch of character flaws, a bunch of character things, where it's somebody you can follow. And it doesn't give any information about what he did or what he didn't do, but it just says he hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. And right before that, the verse says, follow that which is good. Just thought there's just a number of things there. I pray that we can be following the good examples left here. We can strive to pattern our lives after the character of Gaius, use the example of Diotrephes as a bad example not to follow, and strive to serve and to have a good report of all men. That's all I have. Lord bless you.